Hello, everyone. This is Mike Polanoff. And as you probably see on your screen, that's me. And I am the chief bottle washer, I guess you'd call me, of mptrader.com. My partner, Rich, and I started this website, really a diary of trading about 20 years, well, actually 20 years ago this year. And it's been an adventure, a journey in discovery. The basis for my analysis is mostly charting, although I overlay what I think is the psychological makeup of the market and some cursory fundamentals on overlay them on my charts. Now, when I started in the business in the early 1980s, technical analysis was anything but mainstream. And even if it's mainstream now, technical analysts are kind of the black sheep in the research department of these firms. And so nothing's changed there. But I started my career and when I discovered charts, I thought everyone was doing things backwards. I thought that the charts described the setup and the fundamentals should be overlaid on the charts to fill in the backstory of what the charts were saying was going to happen based on pattern analysis, momentum analysis, and prior pattern discovery. So that's how I've sort of formulated my career, using the charts to tell me where things could go, might go. And after 40 years of or so of looking at charts, I guess Malcolm Gladwell, in his famous book about success, I guess he would consider me an expert in charting, because if Michael Jordan needed 10,000 outside shots to become an expert, and if Yo-Yo Ma needed 10,000 hours of practice to become an expert, I certainly have logged my 10,000 hours of chart analysis. So with that as some background, here's my website, and I'll just give you a thumbnail sketch of what I do, and then we'll get into your questions and answers. Okay, so this is a diary, remember? So I post all the time, multiple times an hour, and anybody who is a member of the room can post as well. So let's see. Today's the 17th. Let me see. I'll just show you where we started today. So okay, so here's the good morning. And for those of you who are not familiar with the site, I start out with what I think is some pertinent information about either an individual stock, a macro index, an ETF, you know, a currency, something that's driving what I think is the interest for the day. And for this morning, it was Walmart, and I put up a Walmart chart. At the time, it was pre-market. Walmart was making new all-time highs. And at that time, it looked like it was going to break out. At the very same time, though, I put up the yield chart and came to the conclusion that either this yield chart, which was blowing out on the upside into new multi-year highs above 430 on the 10-year yield, was saying one of two things. Either that Walmart breaking out to the upside was an indication of economic strength that everyone is underestimating, and therefore yield has to continue to go up. Or, as it turns out later in the day, Walmart reversed in a big way to the downside, leaving me to think that perhaps this yield move to 430 is the line in the sand that separates positive market action, that is equity market action, from market action that is subject to the squeeze of long bond yields. That is to say that inflation is biting, long bond yields are going up, the Fed is stuck, not wanting to make a mistake, but seeing what's going on, and therefore has a decision to make. Meanwhile, the stock market is spiraling down, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. So as you can see, there are a lot of updates. Many of the members put up their own ideas, statements, even some trading. And I about at least once an hour, I put up charts of the futures in ES, that is S&P E-minis futures. And it's all about pattern analysis, where it could go. It's pretty detailed, although I describe in the end what I'm expecting and what the chart is saying. There's a thread attached to each one of these updates. People can chime in. They can disagree, agree. They can add their own spin to everything. And so there you have what I do. And there are a lot of updates and there are a lot of markets covered. My last update today was about the QQQ. I'll enlarge the chart. QQQ breaking down, hit my first target. Question is, are we in the grasp of a center down move that is midway through to its final objective, or are we oversold enough to get a bounce? Well, tomorrow is option expiration for August, so that is always fun, in quotes, and anything could happen. So with that preface, let me go over to my chart package. And David, are you there? David.
Yeah, I'm here.
So where do I see questions, if there are any?
I just put a test message in the chat window. If you move your cursor around, you'll see the Zoom menu. Usually at the top.
So I have chat. Oh
yeah.
There it is. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right. Sorry for the interruption. I imagine today that the questions will come up as to where the lows are, where everything can go, and let's just start off something. All right. So here I put up Meta. This is where Meta is. It broke its.
Hey, friend line. Mike, we're still seeing your website.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but
you're probably gonna have to stop the sharing and then switch, you know, reshare.
Do you see it now?
No. Here, let me stop your sharing for you. And now just reshare.
I see.
Okay. Select your chart.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You have it now?
Okay. Yeah, now Meta for our chart. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see Meta broke a trend line and went all the way back to the beginning of January, and it closed below it. It also closed below its prior pullback low. So we have a little top here on Meta, and it may turn into be a more significant top, but it looks like if Meta can't claw its way back above, say, 294 tomorrow, and it closed at 285, so the likelihood of it continuing lower is much greater than it opening higher and taking off. So as long as it doesn't recover above its intermediate term trend line, Meta was playing defense. Now it's been playing defense since the end of July, but now that it broke down and broke support, the likelihood is that Meta is heading into this area here, 260. Now what I always do is I look at various time frames, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And here is the big picture of Meta. So if I enlarge that, get some of this noise out of the way. This is the 50-day MA. You'll see that Meta really is in a very precarious position. And to me, this level is 280, and the level underneath that is 260, where I think it could go. Now, even at, let's see, at 260, Meta is only down, is down 21% from its recovery high in July. So that would be a healthy correction, but it wouldn't create so much damage that the chart would be totally broken. So anyway, that's Meta. And if we take Cisco, which had a huge day based on earnings. So here's the reversal spike off of earnings. After earnings came out last night, the press release triggered a down move from about 53 to 51 in low change. And that was basically because guidance was relatively soft, even though it was actually conservative based on the way CEO Chuck Robbins likes to handle these conference calls and also, I'm sorry, these earnings releases. But when he got on the conference call, he basically massaged that. And it was all about AI. And whenever you mention AI these days, stocks rally. So you can see that in Cisco, not only did it rally, it rallied above a 16-month out of a 16-month base that was putting pressure on the 53-54 level, broke out and ran to almost 56 and closed above the breakout point at 54.60, roughly. So to me, unless Cisco reverses completely and closes back below $53, Cisco is a buy and a hold on weakness. And these are the objectives that we talked about today. And so far, Cisco, which compared to NVIDIA and compared to Marvel, for instance, did not participate after the NVIDIA earnings on May 24th. So to the extent that NVIDIA did. So I have a feeling that Cisco is going to be the laggard that plays catch up now. Even in a bad market, it held up today, which is a very good sign. So let me go over and show you my big picture work. First of all, this is the VIX. I follow the VIX as most people either trade or actively invest do. And the VIX broke out today of a May-August rounded bottom, and it closed right at its trend line, the May trend line. Resistance line. Now this is a really powerful pattern, and I think that tomorrow, being an option expiration where anything could happen, into next Tuesday, I would think there's a window of 3 days for the VIX to make or break this pattern. That is to say that if the VIX collapses here, it'll be another trap. The market will reverse and take off. If the VIX takes off from here and preserves basically the 1730 area, worst case, and takes off, then I think the market is in the grasp of an unfinished correction that has a ways to go. Well, I guess I'm getting a phone call. So that's the VIX. So the VIX, then let's juxtapose the VIX with this chart. And this chart is my big picture daily S&P, you know, E-mini S&P daily futures contract. Here's the high in July. Here's the break yesterday. Really, it was Wednesday. I'd say Tuesday, late Tuesday, it broke the trend line off of the March low and has followed through to the downside. Both MACD and daily RSI, as my momentum gauges, big picture momentum gauges, have confirmed the decline. And that, even though, let's see, it's not even oversold yet for the most part. RSI is at 28. So here's the last trade. I haven't updated this in a few hours, so I had to move these annotations around. So the correction at 4,400 was 5%. We're trading now as we speak at 4,381. So we've broken through the 5% level. Now that there's no magic to 5%. However, it is the first, let's say, support barrier that people look at, that traders look at, to see what kind of correction we're involved with. If S&P futures get to 4280, which is another 100 points, it'll be only a 7.6 correction. So you can see that the 10% correction could get us down to under 4200. So these are levels, plateaus, which I watch, which the technicals are telling me are important. And in the interim, I use my intraday work to map out. So here's like a 5-minute chart. So I use my intraday futures to map out what I think the pattern is doing and whether or not the pattern is complete. This down leg that started at 9 o'clock this morning, it does not look finished. It looks like it has another down leg, another move down before it is complete. That would place it around 4360. So now I go over to my hourly chart and I say, where's 4360? Well, that's down here where this box is that I drew days ago based on this pattern. Now, so that could be the next inflection point. Then I go to my 4-hour chart and I see where 4350.60 is. That's here. But in terms of where we've come from, well, that's not a whole lot of territory that's ES has recaptured on the downside. 4,300 takes you roughly to the breakout point from right after. So right here, is May 24th. That was the NVIDIA earnings day. That was a major pivotal move for the markets when NVIDIA came out and just blew everybody's expectations away based on how it planned on monetizing or benefiting from AI. So that up move, if we just take that up move and put some Fibonacci's on it, we've just passed the 50%. As we speak, we're passing the 50% pullback from the NVIDIA low, the 62% Fibonacci pullback of the NVIDIA from the NVIDIA low to the post NVIDIA high, as it were, is 43.37. So there are some Fibonacci's down there that are like magnets, coupled with tomorrow's OPEX, and you can see that we may not be finished on the downside yet. In fact, I'm pretty sure we're not. Let me go back to the chat. Do similar analysis for Microsoft, Tesla. Okay, so let's go over to. So we're getting some questions on the view of, I would call it the concentric using shorter term into longer term analysis of Microsoft, Tesla, Apple, and Netflix. Why did I think that we were going to get questions about those today? That's pretty. All right, so let's see if I. Let's see. I can find my NVIDIA chart. By the way, this is another view of 10-year yield. This is a weekly chart, and it looks like it's exploding out of here. So when you look at this as a giant accumulation pattern, even in 10-year yield, is these patterns, they're psychological patterns, and they work. And this pullback, let me just do this, and then I'll over to so if you do this. You can see that last October we hit a high and we pulled back right into this breakout level. And this breakout goes back to 2011. So we're not talking about a minor support plateau that the market initially broke out of, pulled back, took off again. So my work tells me that this was less, you know, the low, pandemic low was 0.5%, a little less. And the post-pandemic high 2 years later, more than 2 years later, was 430. 4.33% intraday pullback, new up leg. Well, this new up leg could go to, I think it can go to 5.25% next. And won't that be an eye opener for the markets? Okay. So now let's do NVIDIA, since I was talking about its conference call. Oh, well, okay. Well, TradeStation is doing its backup. And it's going to take about half a minute to do its backup. So we'll have to wait through that because it's frozen my TradeStation software package. so I could cancel it, but I think if anything happens overnight, at least I'll be able to get all my charts back. Okay. Well, let's see what else can I put up here. I can do. Let's go over here. They're back. Okay, here we go. All right, NVIDIA. All right, bear with me. Here we go. All right, here's NVIDIA. Now, this is a four-hour chart of NVIDIA. Now, NVIDIA here, let's see. Here's the earnings. Here's NVIDIA earnings on 5/24, May 24th. It closed that day before NVIDIA announced at 305.38, ran up to 480. And now we've pulled back to some really important support. So if you use the trend line from the first of the year, NVIDIA, this trend line comes through at roughly, you know, 385. Prior pullback low was to 403. So as far as I'm concerned, this is what we have to be. Anybody who is in NVIDIA has to be concerned with 385 to 403. If it takes that out, NVIDIA is done for a while. It'd have to fill this up gap the morning after earnings. And that up gap is from, you know, like 305 or so to 365. So for NVIDIA to fill that gap, it'll be painful for some folks. But right now, NVIDIA is holding up extremely well. No doubt, every day you get upgrades, every day you hear about people in love with it. So right now, this is how I view NVIDIA. This pullback from the 14th of July to the 14th of August, exactly a month, looks like, you know, on the 14th, it reversed to the upside in a big way. I think that was Morgan Stanley that upgraded it, and it took off. This looks like the start of a new uplift to me. The question is whether or not, number one, NVIDIA under pressure, if the entire market is under pressure, NVIDIA has to hold in, right? Now, I think that the first hold place is 425, 427. As long as that holds, I think it takes off and makes a run at the 480 level. If it breaks 425 on a close, then I think it gets pretty close to a retest of this August 14th low. Anyway, the question for me is whether NVIDIA is going to rally into its earnings, which is, I think, on August 23rd after the close. Now, August 23rd, tomorrow's the 18th. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 complete trading days left. Will NVIDIA rocket into the into earnings? And will earnings knock the cover off the ball? If it hit a grand slam on May 24th, I think NVIDIA could actually hit a double or a triple this time and take off and go to 500 to 520. I think that NVIDIA will be capped somewhere around 470, 480 before earnings, unless the market reverses the overall market and the technology sector, QQQ so far, so to speak, reverses in a big way and takes off. I don't think NVIDIA makes a new high before earnings. So that's NVIDIA. Let me go over to Apple. So I noticed when I do these webinars that I don't want to open and close too many charts at the same time because it slows down the whole system and I end up waiting. Well, I'll go to this chart and look for Apple over here. Here's Apple. All right, so this is my 4-hour chart on Apple. Now, two weeks ago, Apple broke its major uptrend line. And at that point, the technicals are on the defensive. The question is where it could go. And I came up with 170 to 174 as the optimal target zone. Okay, so it looks like I'm a genius because today Apple went to a low of 173.48, pretty much closed on the low. So in this window, 174 to 170, I'm looking for signs of downside exhaustion and or signs of non-confirmation. Now, it just so happens that Apple hit a low. It's the RSI went to hit a low of 879 on August 4th, right? Where is August? August 4th is right here, in here. And that was right when Apple started to gain some momentum on the downside. But all through Apple's rising momentum on the 4-hour, the price kept going down, then consolidated, looked like a week, and then broke down again this week. Now, as we closed, the momentum on Apple on the 4-hour chart is around 23, whereas momentum on the 4th, and it was much higher up here, it hit a low of 879. In other words, Apple is not confirming this new low. It also has a pattern that looks like this is the final breakdown of this down leg. And so again, it encourages me to think that Apple around 170, unless the market totally implodes, we're talking about the dreaded C word, right? Crash, which, you know, there are always people who think there's a crash. Meanwhile, they're very rare events. It could go down 5% in a day. Yeah, I guess we could. And let's see. In Apple's case, what would that be? That would take Apple to 165, a 5% day. And it would take out my 170. And this is 165 right in here, which is at the top, which is not far beneath all these peaks, prior peaks and consolidations before it broke out. So let's say worst case, Apple on a 5% down day tomorrow if option expiration really does a number on the indices is 165. But my optimal target is still intact at 170 to 174. What am I looking for? I'm looking for some sort of down move that preserves this divergence, positive divergence, also a positive divergence in MACD, and then a stall and an upside move. That will tell me on a Friday, especially, that Apple is sold out near term, and there could be a pretty decent rally in it. I'd say you have to get back to this 182 area and possibly to the underside of this breakdown, 185, 186. The question thereafter would be, is this the first down leg in a larger developing correction, as in A, B, C? I don't know. Remains to be seen. I think I know one thing is that we should be nearing the end of this corrective leg. And depending on how the setup emerges after this, we'll be able to determine if this move up or a recovery is the start of a new up leg or an intervening rally between two down legs, in which case a 20% correction in Apple is on the table, and that takes you to 158 or so. Okay, so that's Apple. Microsoft, I think I updated my Microsoft a little while, but that shouldn't prevent us from doing it. Yeah, okay, so let me draw some lines here. Okay, so Microsoft, I'll enlarge this so you get the full flavor of this inverse head and shoulders, or head and shoulders bottom base accumulation pattern, is the way I refer to these in my updates on the site. So, and here's this note on February 7th, that's when Microsoft unveiled their AI-powered, Bing search engine. And Google, we'll do Google next, because Microsoft got all the play after that. And Google is actually is in a much preferred technical position at the moment. So, okay, so there's earnings. Those are my parallel lines. So Microsoft in February announces, starts to creep up. The big breakout of this accumulation, this is a huge accumulation pattern. It goes from April of 22, so that's, 16 months. It breaks out at 300 after curling around below 200, takes off and hits 366 on July 18th, in case you don't realize it, because NVIDIA makes us think that all this stuff's rallying all the time. Microsoft's been in a correction for a month already, and it just broke some significant support, which means that it's probably not done yet. Momentum hasn't made a new low, which is encouraging, but it is pointed down. MACD rolled over again today. Now, this is a four-hour chart. So I think based on this chart, this target that I had over here before it broke down looks more and more realistic, which gets you pretty close. I'd say 305 to 300 is the next target zone for Microsoft, unless you get some wicked upside reversal day in everything today, tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday. And before Microsoft gets into this target zone, takes off and does some technical damage to this dominant near-term downtrend, which would be starting at about 322, 323, up to 326. So I'd say 305, 300, unless 326 happens first for the next rally. Now, this is similar to Apple. We don't know if the next rally will be an intervening bounce, so to speak, like this, and then it goes back down here before it takes off again, or if it's off to the races. My inclination is to think that this is what we'll see, some sort of intervening rally. That's also to say that there's a tradable rally coming up that it's definitely be worthwhile. All right, Google, now keep this picture in mind, this Microsoft picture, because Google is a little different. Google has its version of its huge base, broke out in May, went to 129. That's a 120, went to 120, pulled back to the breakout point, which is classic, and then took off again into the end of July at 134. But in contrast to Microsoft, Microsoft pulled back in a big way. Microsoft went from, let's see, 316, 367, roughly 14% Microsoft's down already, whereas Google looks like, well, has created a 2.5-week bull flag or pennant. And that's a bullish pattern. Leads me to believe that unless it breaks 127, 128, and even 125, being that that's the major trend line. So let's say unless it breaks below this support zone between 128 and 125, Google looks like it has another up leg ahead of it. Now, with the if everything's going to spiral south, it's always dangerous to expect the stock you're in to hold up better than everything else. So it may be that we're kidding ourselves that Google will not hold up above 125. But right now, it is acting as though it is relatively strong compared to the overall market, number one, and other names in the sector. So I don't have time now to put it up, but I will put it on the site tomorrow, which is an invitation to for any of you to subscribe and to take the you get a week trial. What I'll put up tomorrow is my ratio chart between Google and Microsoft, which shows whether or not one ought to be buying Google and selling Microsoft as a, you know, because their battle, AI battle, is favoring one or the other, or whether it says the opposite, buy Microsoft, buy more of Microsoft and less Google, or alternatively, buy more Google and less Microsoft. The big boys, as it were, who can trade, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars, when they see a ratio chart heading, breaking out, they'll actually buy one leg and sell the other, short the other. But I don't recommend that for us mere mortals. Too difficult to manage, too many decisions to make, and not enough return on the amount of money that us mere mortals have to apply to these kinds of charts. I mean, setups. Okay, so that's Google. Let me see. What did I miss here? Netflix. Tesla. Okay, I'm going to do Tesla. my wife is talking to my granddaughter, and let me close this door. Okay. All right. Let's go over to Tesla. It's always fascinating. Let me see. Marvel. Tesla. Okay, bingo. Let's do Tesla. All right. You can tell I do a lot of detailed technical work on Tesla. Now, as with other charts we've discussed so far, my detailed analysis and annotated analysis enables me to quickly refer to prior highs, prior lows, notations I make, like news emerges about Musk buying Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It also enables me to make projections. So every day on the site, when I put up any chart, I make projections about where, if this is a dominant downtrend for the past month in Tesla, which it is, I project where I think it could go and the optimal places where I think it could turn. And in this case, my first projection was 232 to around 225, and it went through that yesterday and today. Today's low being 218.83, and my second projection was 218 to 208. Now, that's where I think we'll turn, or Tesla will turn, and it will effectively be a test of its original breakout or its past breakout point in the third week of July at 220, roughly. So it will test the original resistance plateau that now becomes support on the way back down. Now, what to be concerned about if Tesla does not turn in this wind is this trend line, which you can see cuts right through my target zone. So you start to get under 210, 208, especially on a close, this trend line will be really meaningful and have consequences, negative consequences for Tesla on a technical basis. So let's worry about that when it gets there. But there's huge amount of support here. And I'm not going to bet against Tesla holding here and turning up. So what does that mean? We're at 217.55 as we speak. Let's say it does go to 208. 217.55 takes you down about 4.5% from here. At which point, let's say it's 208, at which point Tesla will have corrected 30% off the high. So it's not an insignificant pullback for Tesla. Netflix, I have to go back to this page over here. Let me get this up here first and then put Netflix up. I want to show you AMD. It's another example of an AI chip stock that has a very impressive pattern, Netflix. All right. So Netflix. So I've done quite a bit of work on Netflix. It's like each one of these charts to me is a laboratory. And, you know, whoever is looking at it, at my work on the site, is basically looking over my shoulder while I'm the mad technician, the mad scientist, trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And you're along for the ride. You get to see my stream of consciousness as well as determine whether you think, you know, it's different or otherwise, you know, wrong in some way. And we discuss it. And I mean, you know, I have a lot of experience with this stuff, but hardly infallible, to say the least. Okay, so you can tell from Netflix that, enlarge the chart, that it's all about this level for me. In fact, you can make the case that this is a cup and a handle and a breakout and another handle. And from here, I would think that it's a make or break for this bull move from last July in Netflix, right? So this trend line, give or take, is important, and it comes through, let's say, I'm gonna line it up here, comes through at 370. So Netflix is at 402 right now, which means that if it goes to 370 into this ridge of what used to be heavy resistance, now support, it has another 8% on the downside. And at 370, Netflix will have corrected 25% from the high. The fact that today Netflix rolled over and took out this ridge of support, you know, 410, 415, and kept going, suggests to me that this is a top. And it has more damage on the downside, has more weakness ahead that we'll get to somewhere in this area. And so if I'm looking to buy a pullback or a correction in Netflix, I'm sitting on my hands until it gets down into this 370 area. And then to reevaluate it. Now, Netflix RSI on this 4-hour chart is at 18, and it's getting into rarefied oversold territory. So the question is, so let's say it holds at 380, then any bounce from there will bounce back into its prior breakdown level, and that is around 410. So maybe you get a tradable bounce to 410, but then I think there's more where that came from, because this pattern has not fulfilled its downside objective yet. Of course, gets through 423 after testing 410, keeps going through 423, then we have to reevaluate the situation altogether. So right now, it seems to me Netflix is in the middle of nowhere. You can't buy it here. It's too late to sell it, I guess, unless looking at 370 and you're in it and you don't like that prospect, then you do what you have to do to protect your capital, which is what this business is all about. Okay, so Enphase. Do you trade the long bond on the yield chart? What I do is I trade the TLT, and I have a chart of the TLT. I'm pretty sure I did that. Hang on. Let me quickly search TLT. Where's TLT? The TLT chart, here it is. I don't know if this is the updated one or not, but I'm going to use it anyway. Okay, it's not the updated one. So sorry for all the confusion, but there's another page I have with just fixed income instruments on it that I update every day. This was my, the last time I updated this was the last webinar. So this version of the chart, but you can see the way TLT is broken down, and it's all about testing the October, November lows. And if the benchmark 10-year yield chart is correct, and or that is my interpretation of it is correct, and that it is going to, it's heading for over 5%. Doesn't mean it has to do it straight away. Chances are it gets through 432, goes to 450, which is the next kind of like big figure that the street's watching. Maybe it takes this out, goes to this low was 91.85. Maybe it goes to 90, and then you get a decent rally, and then it rolls over again. So, but I trade the TLT. It's the 20-year version of the ETFs for bond trading. And the reason I use the 20-year version, 20-plus year version, is because we're in an inflation underpinned situation now in all the markets. And the longer you go out on the yield curve, the more sensitive it is to the inflation process. And so that's why I use the 20-year TLT. Enphase, I don't have ready, but I will do this. Let me see. So let's get rid of IBM. Let's put Enphase in here. All right. So Enphase. Okay. So this is a daily chart, not a 4-hour chart. This is a daily chart of Enphase. And actually, Enphase looks like it is ending something. Now, the reason I say that is because it looks like it had its big down move, stair step decline, consolidated from August 7th to yesterday and today, so 2 weeks. That is less than 2 weeks, a week and a half maybe, and dropped out, but not much. It looks like it made a minor new low, and it was not confirmed by daily momentum. So that's the first indication that Enphase may be exhausted on the downside. Now let's go over to let me replace Cisco on my 4-hour chart with Enphase and see what Enphase looks like now. Let me just make sure I've got I'm running out of time here, but sessions 24 hour. Okay, so this is pre and post market action in Enphase too. Another non confirmation. Positive divergence in Enphase down here at the low. So my suspicion is that Enphase is making a significant low. However, you can't buy this. Well, you can, just based on the non-confirmation, you can buy it. However, I'm a little more conservative than that. And what I recommend doing in these situations, when you're at the end of a huge decline in a company, in a stock, in a correction, and you don't really have all that much confidence that just because it has a non-confirmation is going to be right, I usually wait for some sort of damage to be done to the dominant nearest term downtrend. And that would mean that Enphase, in order for me to feel a little more confident about it, it needs to reverse, go up through 136.60 and close above 139. Now, I realize that's $9 from here, but if Enphase is ending a big picture decline, big picture correction, those $9 will be the most rewarding $9 you ever left on the table, because you'll have much more confidence in the ability of Enphase to actually move higher, much higher. But until that happens, you're just guessing and picking a bottom. I guess you could buy calls and see them deteriorate before Enphase actually takes off and maybe moves up through 138, 139. But my style is to give yourself the benefit of the doubt, be patient. I mean, if Enphase is going to go to 165, 168, and you're in it at 140 instead of 132, so what? And on that note, I guess we have 5 minutes left, and it's about time to wrap things up. So I encourage you to, if you like what you see and hear, and you want to discuss it in a diary type of format with myself and other members who have a vested interest in discussing this stuff, then please feel free to take a look at mptrader.com. Let's see. Well, I don't hear David kicking me off here. thanks.
You can have a few more minutes. Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay. Yeah. Okay. SPX. All right. So let's do it. Okay. SPX. So let me convert. Use the daily chart for the SPX. That'll be the last. Okay. Cash SPX. Updated this this particular the chart in a while. However, we don't need my annotations for us to see what's going on here. Okay, so this green line is the 100-day moving average. The yellow line is a 50-day, and up here is a 50-day. So 44.50, we sliced through that a couple of days ago. The 100-day MA is at 42.92, 4,300, let's call it. With the next important pivot low occurred on the 26th of June at 43.28. So we have 43.28, and we have the 100-day moving average as the next two spots that create a window of expectation of important support in here. So is this what is going to happen? We don't know yet, but the way this closed, it looks like we're going to get pretty close to this target zone, if not in it. It would be unusual for the market to slice through the 100-day moving average the first time down. Now, that's in a normal correction, but if we're in an abnormal market, i.e. a mini crash or however you want to call it, then it's going lower. Now this is the March low. The Fibonacci's say that the 50% correction is to 4,200, but the 100-day and the 38% Fibonacci is at 4,300. So that even adds more importance to this zone in there between 4,330 and 4,300. And if that breaks, you got the Fibonacci, the 100-day, and the prior pullback low, then it's over and out for a while. And I think you're going to 4,200, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. The one thing that we can gather from this is momentum's confirming, made new lows today. The MACD is in a railroad track formation. Whenever it's in a railroad track up, that's really powerful stuff. When it's in a railroad track down, it's the opposite. So SPX has some issues, and those issues need to be resolved, and they probably will be resolved, I think, between 4,330 and 4,300. And if not, well, we'll see what happens then, but 4,200 would be on the table. And I'll leave it there.